The season of Lent is a purposeful journey towards the cross of Good Friday and the empty tomb of Easter. Welcome to our Lenten edition of Crosstalk. Here's Pastor Ken!
Thanks, Pastor Brian. I appreciate being here with you again for another Friday edition of Crosstalk as we reflect on the message from the previous week and get a little preview of the week to come. We're creeping on through the season of Lent, and the story of Jesus through the stories of Jesus hopefully has been a blessing for folks. This past weekend, you gave us, you preached on one of those, as you mentioned, one of those incredibly familiar stories of the Bible, the story of the prodigal son. So just as a jump-in point, there were a couple things that you mentioned in the message that that struck with me. So maybe you can comment a little further on them. The first part was that you talked about, and I don't know that I'm going to say it the way you did, but you talked about how we want the benefits of a relationship with someone, but we don't want we don't necessarily just want that person. We don't just want the relationship or the effort that goes into that relationship. Can you talk a little bit more about that, and how did you come to that thought process for Sunday?
Yeah, so I think ultimately it just came down to that personally, I'm just a selfish dude when I think about it. So in the end, I just want what I can get. Typically, that's true in all kinds of things, whether that's a new guitar, whether that's a new bike, or whether that's a new car. I mean, I just want what I want. It occurred to me that this is true in a lot of relationships as well, right? I love that I get this from that person, or I love that I get this from that person. But the work of relationships, when I'm honest, is sometimes real work. And so I want to avoid the work that it takes and the commitment that it takes, because quite frankly, people have messy lives. And if we're going to commit to a relationship with somebody, if we're going to be in a relationship with somebody, that means walking alongside them in the high moments and the low moments and the mundane moments and the exciting moments. And that I think that takes commitment to do that in all of those places, apart from what it is you can get. And so when it came to the story, this prodigal son, I just saw over and over how much he really wanted, in this case, the estate. He wanted the inheritance, but he didn't actually want to be near, physically near, his dad. So he goes off to this distant land. And so there's just this kind of, man, just glowing sort of amplified reality that, yeah, I want what you can give me, but I don't want you.
So what, in a practical sense, what does that look like in terms of our relationship with God? You're saying that we just want God to give us stuff, but we don't love him, or we don't want to be with him, or explain that further.
Yeah, so one of the things that we talked a little bit about, and I made mention of it, but probably not as specific as I could have. I think, you know, we love the things, we love the benefits of being in a relationship with God. So we love grace, and we love forgiveness, we love healing, we love his goodness and his kindness. But I'm always shocked, I mean, quite frankly, I'm always shocked that we don't spend more of our time in worship. Whether that's at the table or at the temple, it doesn't take a long look, frankly, at people's attendance records to know that we neglect that, even though we love what we get when we get there. We love healing, but we're not really, or we sort of neglect the praying for healing in situations and in people. We love grace, but we neglect to actually spend time with God and his word, where he speaks those things of grace and where he delivers those things of grace. So, and I'm not trying to point fingers other than pointing my finger at myself, right? It's true for me too. There's so many other things that just kind of get in the way. And so I love all that stuff, but boy, I just neglect the real kind of relationship that I can have in those things of worship and prayer and in his word.
I get it. So you're really talking about the importance of cultivating the relationship itself and not just the results of the relationship. So now you also mentioned, you talked about the context a little bit yesterday and how there was this, within Luke chapter 15, there's three parables and they speak of rejoicing when a lost thing is found. And you mentioned that that finding happens after repentance. Can you say more about that?
Yeah, so repentance, right? Big churchy word, means to turn. It's a coming to your senses. It's a recognition that you're headed in the wrong direction and you need to turn around. And so in all of those places, in the first parable and the second parable, the sheep and the coin, the coin doesn't repent and the sheep doesn't repent. But Jesus is really clear at the close of those parables that in the same way that there was this massive party for the coin and for the sheep, there is this massive party in heaven when a sinner repents, when they turn, when they come to their senses, when they finally realize they're headed in the wrong direction and they need to turn it around. So when it comes to the parable of the lost son, the text literally says he came to his senses. He saw that the direction he was headed is to be nowhere. It was to head to nothing. And so there is this turn, and the son says, I can't go this way anymore. I'm going to return to my father. Even if I can't return as a son, I'm going to head back that direction. And that's where I think I was trying in the sermon to just give a picture of what heaven began to do in that moment of repentance or in that moment of coming to your senses and that turning around thing. I'm going that way. I'm headed back to the Father as heaven begins to sort of drip with anticipation for that moment of embrace and that moment of reconciliation and that moment where the Father says, no, you are my boy.
Nice. Last thing for you. Through your preparations, your process, your study, your preaching this sermon, what ended up speaking to you personally the most?
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. I'm not sure I had anything particular until the actual giving of the sermon, and I was just so struck by, even in the delivery of it, I was so struck by this picture of a dad who runs to the boy. That boy is the very one who fractured the relationship, the very one who wanted his dad dead, and yet the dad, with an unbelievable persistence, an unbelievable depth of love, would run to him and embrace him. I think I was just caught that moment, quite literally, kind of emotively. I thought, man, just take a deep breath, because it's such a powerful picture that no matter what, right, the father still runs. So that's what got me, and it was really in the delivery. This week we head into Holy Week, beginning here at Palm Sunday and starting a new series called It's Personal. So Ken, maybe just give us some direction on what that means.
Well, this weekend with Palm Sunday, as Jesus enters Jerusalem, it was personal for him, for sure, right? He knows he's coming to the end of his ministry and the purpose and the time for which God had sent him. It was personal for the crowds as they are looking for a new king. And hopefully we'll explore a little bit how it's personal to us. And then hopefully we'll see that personal touch of the Holy Week story, the Jesus story, in Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter as well.
Man, looking forward to it.